does not seem logical to the human mind, that we could not come up with ourselves and be believed. It's only something we could truly know and understand if God himself were to reveal it to us. To understand this mystery, and a mystery isn't something that you just can't figure out. No, a mystery is something that's hidden, that is made known. That's the Greek definition of mysterion. The mystery of the Holy Trinity is this truth about God that is hidden within himself that we come to know because he reveals it to us. It's not something we can make up in a credible way, but we can believe in it because we believe in him. Throughout the ages, philosophers have come to affirm, and even scientists that are honest, that the order of the universe, the laws of nature, cause and effect, all these different things can lead us logically to affirm there must be a supreme mind, a supreme being, a first mover unmoved, all these different terms that they've used just on a natural human rational level to try to explain the order of the universe and the beauty of nature and all the different things that are around us. If they're honest in their search of the truth, they come to recognize there has to be someone or something that is above it all, that puts it all into effect. And yet, they cannot tell us who that is. Who is he? Who is he? Who is she? Who is it? Who is what? They can't give us a definition of who God is, but they can affirm there has to be something. It's only through revelation that we come to know God. It's like amongst ourselves. I mean, I see your faces every week. I see thousands of faces every week in the seven different masses we have. I could say, I know you. But many of us, we've never even crossed words. You come to Mass on Sunday, you go home, you go to work, you take your kids to school, you do the things you do, but many of you could say you know me, but maybe you've never spoken with me about anything. Oh, I know Father Thomas. No, I know of him because I've seen him. I know you because I've seen you. We can know of each other without knowing each other. The only way to truly know one another is when you open yourself up to another. When you start to communicate and say, I was born here, I lived here, these are my convictions, these are my feelings, these are my thoughts, and I share with you what's within me, then you can say, oh, I know you. Now, husband and wife, they get to know each other, to love each other in intimacy because they've come to understand who the other person is, because they have revealed themselves. And you don't reveal your intimate things to just anybody. You open yourself up to the person you can trust, the person you wish to share your life with. You open up to a good friend. You open up to someone who you can confide in. And so if we know each other in this way, this too is how we can know who God is. We can know of him, that's one thing. But to know him implies that he opened himself up to us. And God has done this. He's done it in creation. From the very beginning of the world, the creation of time and of all things. When God creates, he expresses that each thing is good. And so we know the goodness of God through his creation. We see the beauty of nature and know the beauty of God. We see the greatness, the magnificence, all the different things we can know of God through that which is around us in the created world. God is communicating himself because he's overflowing with love. So we see this is a God of love who wants to share his love with us. And then when we sinned, because he gave us this free will that we could use or abuse, and we often choose to abuse it rather than use it well for the glory of God and the good of others, and sin comes into the world, and death, and it's not the physical death, it's the spiritual death of losing that presence of God, then he reveals himself through the patriarchs and the prophets in the Old Testament. He starts to communicate with mankind through the scriptures, through the revelation, We saw in the first reading, this proverb is speaking about a hint of the Spirit that's with God, and therefore there's a hint of this God being a Trinity in passages of the Old Testament. And yet it's not fully revealed until the coming of Jesus. And so God is communicating with us. He's making covenants with his people. He's preparing the way so that he can reveal himself fully to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's only through Jesus that we come to know the Father and the Holy Spirit. If you look at our creed, there are 12 articles. 6 of them are dedicated to Jesus. Then a couple to the Father, and a couple to the Holy Spirit, and a couple to the church. It's because through Jesus, it is how God is revealing himself, opening up the mystery, allowing us to see who he is in himself, so that we can come to know him, love him, serve him, recognize who we are as children of God. So the mystery of the Trinity isn't something that's like this, oh, God's a Trinity and he's out there and I gotta try to figure this out with my feeble brain. No. It's much deeper and much more profound than that. He's not way out there somewhere. The scripture says, Jesus himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the Father and I will come to you and make our abode in you. And we will send you the Paraclete who will take up his abode in you. And St. Paul says you will become temples of the Holy Spirit. So this Trinity isn't way out there. Yes, he's supreme and above us, but at the same time, he deigns to come to dwell within us. That's what we call grace. When we live in a life of grace, grace is the presence of God's divine life in our soul. God himself who comes to give us a share in his divine life, his divinity. He became man to give us a share in his divinity so that we could know that he created us in his image to share his life with us. We lost it because of sin. He restored it through his Son. He sends his Spirit to nourish our soul so that the life of God can be with us and we can be with him now until we are with him for all eternity. That's the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who you are the temple of God, and he dwells in your soul through baptism, through the sacraments, always when you're in the state of grace, and don't throw him out because of mortal sin. The Trinity comes to you because they want you to have an intimate relationship of love with them. May they be one as we are one, Father. He wants us to be one amongst ourselves because we're united in the love of God as members of his body. We are united in the love of the Trinity, which has been poured out to our souls so that we can rejoice as one in Christ. This is a great gift, and it's not just for us. I mean, the Catholic Church is the true faith that Jesus founded in order to, through the sacraments, give us this gift. But it's not just for us. It's for every other Christian that's separated themselves from the fullness of the truth of Christ in his church. It's for the pagans who have not yet known him. It's for the Jews who were prepared for this, but have some accepted, some have not. It's for the Muslims and for the Mormons. It's for every human being God has created in his image and wants to bring them to a unity with himself in an intimacy of love with this God who is love, a family, a community of love, the Holy Trinity. And it's up to us that have received this marvelous gift that we don't deserve to share it, to preach, go and tell the world, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All these things come together when we understand God is working in our soul because he wants to share his divine life with us. And he doesn't want to wait till we die. He gives it to us now through grace as we share in the life of the Trinity in our soul, so that we can be the sons and daughters that God wants us to be. We're going to profess this, like I said, in just a moment. It's the nucleus. It's the center. All of our faith has been resumed in the creed. It's all summed up right there. Sometimes we pray it kind of distracted and not even know what we're saying. It'd be good to study it in depth. That's what we do in theology. All the years of theology, we study the creed through the scriptures and through the theological understandings of what it really means. We do it not only in the creed Every time you pray, if you begin your prayer as you should, we always begin our prayer, how? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Although sometimes we get so lax and everything, we kind of just go, you know? We don't even realize that this is an expression of faith. It's a profession of faith. The sign of the cross I'm making using the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is even a greater summary of what the creed is a summary of. In the name, not in the names, in the name, because it's one God. But it's three persons in one God, and therefore of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we profess our faith every time we bless ourselves, every time we say those words. It's a prayer. It's not, okay, let's say that, and then now we'll pray. No, no, no. I begin my prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I should begin everything in that. I should do everything in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I am a living temple of God, and the Trinity of God is within me, a reality that I forget often, and that's why I go after so many other things that's not Him. No. Instead of giving glory to the God within, the God who has saved me, the God who loves me, the God, the Trinity, we look for other gods. The pagan gods, the world, fame, money, power, sex, drugs, alcohol, idols. No. And worst of all, ourselves. How often do we give cult to the God of Tom? No. I put my name, you put yours, okay? No. We want to make ourselves gods so we can live according to what our selfish or oftentimes perverted pleasures lead us to. So we can justify our actions according to what this God wants things to be, rather than what the God wants them to be. And there can only be one God. Logically, there can only be one God, because God has to be absolute. And if there are two gods, then neither of them is absolute. They're relative to each other. So logically, you can't have more than one God. If there's a God, it has to be one. Right? For we believe in one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One in substance and in equality. And we profess that. And so we should not give cult to ourselves or to the world or to fame or to money or to power or to anything else that's not Him. We should use all those things properly for the glory of the true God. And so as Christians, you should sleep in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You should wake in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You should eat your breakfast in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You should greet your neighbor in His name. Everything you do throughout the day, at work, at play, at school, with your friends and with your enemies, should be in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, who dwells in your soul. The intimacy of God in your life through grace has made you His temple, so that you can be in oneness, in communion, in an intimate, loving relationship with Him. So who is your God? Some distant thing that's out there? Or the true God who wants to give you His love and His grace, His mercy and His forgiveness? God, thank you for that. I know we all need it. I know I do. You know? If we were to understand this mystery, my brothers and sisters, and truly live it, the way we should, doing everything in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No, we can transform this world. There would be no hatred, discrimination, selfishness, violence, sin would be eradicated if we would allow the love of God to penetrate our hearts and the hearts of all mankind. And yet, this is our battle on this earth, because sin always wants its way. And so we're always going to have to struggle against it in our own lives, in our families. But why don't we just try today, as you go through the day, do what you do in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Give glory to Him in your thoughts, in your actions, in your words. Oh, How much better a world would be if we spoke always in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, rather than criticize each other, backbite, no, condemn, and do so many things with our tongue that are contrary to the love of God. Right? This is what it means, the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Not some distant thing. Something very close to your heart. The God who loves you, the God who made you, the God who saved you, the God who sent his Spirit to dwell within you, and thus took up his abode in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to profess it right now in the Creed. We profess it, hopefully, in our lives, by the way we live and do and think and say everything in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.